Support for programming on NET Radio comes from Cornerstone Bank, a family-owned bank providing custom investments, trust, and estate planning services since 1882 with 40 central Nebraska locations. CornerstoneConnect.com. Cornerstone Bank, building trust on a solid foundation. And Lincoln Literacy, whose volunteers strengthen the Lincoln community by teaching English and a variety of literacy skills. Lincoln Literacy is registered for Give to Lincoln Day. For more on the mission, LincolnLiteracy.org.
Good morning and welcome to Friday Live here on NET Radio, live from the Mill in Lincoln's Haymarket. I'm Genevieve Randall. The International Quilt Study Center and Museum have collaborated with the American Folk Art Museum in New York City for an exhibition, and we'll learn more this morning. Filmmaker Chloe Zhao has made a second film on the Pine Ridge, and a new bluegrass festival has sprouted up in Lincoln. I'll talk with a band member ahead on the show. Plus, we have live music from three different acts today, which you can see via our live streaming video. There are two ways to watch this morning. You can watch on our website, which is netnebraska.org, or if you're on Facebook, head on over to the NET Radio page, where we are on Facebook Live this morning. We start with the first of our live performances today. Rascal Martinez grew up in Sutherland, Nebraska, but he plays all over the country, including playing Chicago's House of Blues at one point. He and his band have just released their single, Waiting on You, and we get to hear a live performance of it right now here on NET Radio's Friday Live.
It seems so easy, it seems so still, but everyone around me is burning out my wheels, and I'm trying to tell you right, 'cause I'm trying to tell you right what you wanna know. She's telling me when, she's telling me why, but she's always saying, playing with my mind, and I don't know what's right. I don't know what's right anymore, 'cause I've been lost waiting on you, 'cause I've been lost waiting on you. I can't tell you where my heart might lay, my heart is today. Everything was good and everything was bright. We were burning bridges trying to get it right, and we just let it go. We just let it go way too soon. Over with cuts so deep, we moved on and never gonna speak, and I just don't know how, 'cause I just don't know how it turned this way, 'cause I've been lost waiting on you, 'cause I've been lost. My heart is today.
We heard Rascal Martinez with Waiting on You here on Friday Live on NET Radio. I'll be talking with him a little bit later about his music and his show tonight in Lincoln. Also ahead in 20 minutes, a conversation with Americana band member Adam Gruhl, and author Gretchen Garrison will be here to discuss her book, Detour Nebraska. I'm joined next here by Brady Jandro. He is the subject and main character of filmmaker Chloe Zhao's second feature titled The Rider, which shows at the Ross Media Arts Center tonight at 7:30 with a Q&A following that particular showing of the film. There's also a show at 4:45 tonight, and then The Rider will continue at the Ross through May 24th. Brady, thanks for being here this morning.
Thanks for having me.
You've had kind of a long drive to get here to Lincoln, right?
About 7.5 hours.
7.5 hours.
I think we rolled in about 1 o'clock this morning.
Oh, my gosh. So on little sleep as well. So Chloe Zhao was on this very show before to talk about her film Songs My Brothers Taught Me, which she made on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in 2013. Is that when you met her? How did you guys meet?
Chloe... she felt like she didn't capture the whole, you know, cowboy aspect of my area as well in her first film the way she wanted to. So she came back to the Mule Shoe Angus Ranch, which is where I work, which is where she shot part of her first film, to research ranch lifestyle. And she wanted to make a movie about cowboys in the heartland of America, you know, especially Native American cowboys.
Yeah.
And I was on a full-ride rodeo scholarship to OPSU in Oklahoma. But I dropped out to pursue PRCA, professional rodeo, mm-hmm. and I needed a job when I came back, so I went back to work for Todd O'Brien, my elder cousin, mm-hmm. on the Mule Shoe Angus Ranch, and that's where I met Chloe.
Okay. Yeah, one of the things she talks about being drawn to is your background, which you mentioned just a moment ago. You know, people hear the phrase cowboys and Indians like there's this sort of opposite, but you are both. You are of Lakota ancestry, and you're a cowboy and rodeo rider, as you mentioned. I wonder what your thoughts and feelings are about your background and kind of the cultural stereotypes people have.
I feel like the Native American is, like, the way it's viewed by the rest of the world, especially, you know, with all this traveling I've been doing. People either view, you know, natives as, you know, like savage people, or else as this perfect, you know, almost angelic people, you know, and we're just people just like everyone else, you know.
Sure, absolutely. We were talking a minute ago, you have been doing a lot of traveling in association with this film. What are some of the places you've been?
Well, we went to Paris here beginning last month, and we've been to LA twice, been to New York 3 times now. Been all over the place. So,
did you ever imagine when you started rodeoing that this would lead to this with all this travel and a film?
No, not at all.
Right, not in your wildest dreams. You really seem to have a special connection with horses. What do you like about working with horses?
You know, I love everything about horses. You know, ever since I was very, very, very small, I think my dad said I was 15 days old the first time he set me up on a horse. So just over 2 weeks, and I could actually control my own horse before the age of 2, you know, with nobody leading me, nobody on there with me at all. It was a good old horse, but I started breaking ponies when I was, you know, 5 or 6 years old, and then moved on to, you know, 2-year-old colts when I was about 7, 8 years old. So I've been breaking them for well over a decade now, about 15 years.
5 or 6 years old. What was one of the first things you learned about breaking a pony when you were that little?
There's no way you can force a pony into anything. They may seem small, but I'll tell you what, they're strong.
Right. You can see all those muscles in there. Now, part of what is depicted in the film has to do with the fact that you suffered a traumatic brain injury while riding. Do you mind telling us what happened?
Like I told you, I met Chloe in April of 2015, and she played around with all sorts of different ideas for a storyline. And then on April Fool's Day of 2016, ironically, at the Fargo Dome, at the Fargo PRCA Rodeo, I was on a Mossbucker rodeo horse, and I was trying to stick it out for the whistle. I knew I was right there, you know, and I come off, and my foot hung in the stirrup, and I swung underneath the horse, and she stepped on my head. And I sustained a comminuted skull fracture, meaning shattered, and the break was 3 1/4 inches in length and 1 1/4 inches wide and 3/4 inch into my brain cavity. My skull was broken to many pieces. 3 sections of my skull were broke. They had to actually remove some pieces and, you know, some manure and sand, stuff like that, from my brain. And I actually wasn't knocked unconscious initially.
It's amazing.
They were actually treating me for a neck injury on the way to the hospital because they figured if my brain was injured, I would be unconscious. And I got to the hospital about 11 minutes later. It was just a couple blocks away. They rushed me there, and I went into a full-body convulsion seizure when they started asking me questions. Mm-hmm. And they induced coma and did brain surgery right away and relieved the pressure on my brain and put a big plate in there. And I was in a coma over the span of 5 days where I actually woke up under induction and pulled my tubes out of my throat.
Wow. It really sounds like you're lucky to be here.
Yeah.
How has this affected your riding then?
I'm probably not quite as quick as I used to be, physically and mentally probably, but I have a little short-term memory loss, a little trouble in the heat, but mm-hmm. other than that, I'm back to being me.
And they told you not to ride, didn't they?
Well, when I left the hospital, they told me I needed to stay at the hospital, and I told them I needed to get out of here, and they said, okay, well, we can't legally hold you if you can pass a series of tests, so... I just kind of waded my way through the tests and got out of there, and been doing pretty good ever since. They told me when I left, though, to not lift over 10 pounds or even jog for 3 months.
Yeah.
And in half that time, a month and a half, I went broke, and I wasn't going to go ask for a handout. So I went back to doing the only thing I know how to do, which is train horses.
It's interesting to me, Chloe Zhao's films so far, the last one she made and this one, are sort of this unique mix of fictional movie storytelling and then sort of documentary, because they're always based in reality and she uses real people, mm-hmm. just like you, as her subjects in her film. It's hard to know kind of where the line is. Is it a documentary? Is it a fictional film? So how much of this film for you is acting and how much of it is just sort of replaying your real life?
Well, It was a 65-page script with a fictional setup, just like as a fiction film would be.
Uh-huh.
I had to memorize lines, and everything. I mean, it was even the reenacting, like it would be a different setting, or I would have to respond in a way that I wouldn't normally respond. I would tell Chloe that, and she'd be like, "Well, it's not you; it's the character," So
interesting.
It's basically a fiction film based on a true story that's ironically played by the character it's based on.
Right, right. Which I think is amazing. Kind of a fascinating thing she does there. Brady Jandreau has been my guest. Am I saying your last name correctly, by the way?
Jandreau.
Jandreau. There we go. I want to make sure we get that right. Brady Jandreau has been my guest here this morning. He is depicted in Chloe Zhao's film, The Rider, and he will be at the Ross Media Arts Center in Lincoln for opening night of the film. There's going to be a Q&A session following the 7:30 p.m. showing. Brady, I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Challenging, informing, and inspiring, this is NET Radio and netnebraska.org. For the first time, Pinewood Bowl in Lincoln's Pioneers Park will host an all-day bluegrass festival. The Great Pinewood Bluegrass Festival will open the gates at 3 p.m. on Saturday, May 20th. The festival starts at 3:30, running through 9 p.m. It's an all-ages event. Music on the lineup includes Green Sky Bluegrass, The Devil Makes Three, Mandolin Orange, and starting off the music, Horseshoes and Hand Grenades. Band member Adam Gruhl contributes guitar, dobro, and vocals to that band, and he joins me now. It's great to meet you, Adam.
It's great to be here. Great to meet you as well.
So your band has been together for about 7 years. You've released 3 albums. I want to know how the band got started in the first place.
We were actually all going to school up at the University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point. Through various channels, we all ended up meeting and realizing that we had a love for acoustic instruments, in part because of the fact that it was so simple. We didn't need to have amps or chords or anything of the like. And we all became fast friends, more so than becoming bandmates. Our friendship is what kept us together. The next thing we knew, people were sort of catching word about us and booking us all across the state. And, by the time we all graduated college, we had our various degrees, but we realized, like, heck, there's no better time than right now to go out and travel and see new places and meet new people, and that's kind of the journey we've been on.
How do you describe the particular sound of your band?
We're a string band. I would say that, you know, we all came in to the band with various musical influences. We're interested in a really eclectic sort of bunch of music. And so we're kind of rooted in the string band old-timey style, like maybe the Skillet Lickers or old-time groups more so than like bluegrass groups like Bill Monroe and stuff. Dance music is really the type of music that we were into, the stuff that we could play at country dances. And we sort of took that foundation, but then allowed ourselves to kind of let these musical influences from the past, such as jazz or Cajun music or even the more jammy stuff like the Grateful Dead, we kind of let that stuff sort of infiltrate that string band style. And so now, you know, I think we're basically Americana. We're sort of the fusion of so many different interesting musical stylings that we find in the great melting pot these days.
Yeah, I noticed, speaking of that fusion, that the website for your band describes your bass player, Sam Odin, as dropping in sort of elements of jazz and even classical into your most recent album. So what are some of those other elements that you and other bandmates bring to the table?
It's just basically our interest. What comes to mind for me is my mom has always run this thing called the Portage County Cultural Festival up in kind of northern Wisconsin. And that brings in all of these crazy sounds, like African drumming, and there's this like gourd banjo thing that I just saw this past weekend, Slovakian music and Cajun stuff, and you hear all these different styles, and whether it's a decision that you make or if it's more passive, it becomes part of you. For me, it's hearing all these various sounds through life and then just sort of being open to letting that go into your music. That's been a really conscious decision for our band, is to not try to be anything specific and rather to just let our own heartstrings, our own musical intuition sort of take us where we go together.
It also looks like everyone in the band are songwriters. So how do you all navigate through and cooperate on creating new songs?
We just have a lot of fun, basically. I mean, you know, we all love to write songs, and we'll sit down in a room, for instance, in preparation for the creation of this last record. Everybody just sort of selected the tunes that they liked the most that they had written, and then we just sat down in the living room and we played all the songs, and then we just kind of decided what felt best out of all of those songs. For us, it really goes back to a strong foundation of friendship. When you're truly buddies, the ego part can sort of drift away, and you can really get down to the nitty-gritty and just make decisions that seem to make sense, that everybody feels good about, and then you carry on. I think that's something that I'm really happy and proud about with our band, is our ability to listen to one another, both from a musical perspective, but also in terms of decision-making, in terms of the business aspect as well.
So, Adam, I see that the Great Pinewood Bluegrass Festival is your one stop in Nebraska as the band tours around the spring. Do you guys get to see much of the places you visit when you tour?
You try to. You know, we're all big outdoorsmen. You know, we love fishing, backpacking, hiking, you know, getting out of the water, paddling. So we try to do as much of that as we can when we're out traveling. You know, it's funny. I was thinking about Lincoln. Going there this weekend, we broke down there once in Lincoln. Or
oh,
near Lincoln.
Really?
and it was in this bus. We have basically it looks like an airport shuttle bus that we've converted and put like six bunks into. We broke down there in that bus, and it was so heartlandy. Like, everybody just wanted to help.
Oh, that's so nice.
And I just thought it was so awesome. It was like, man, the Northern hospitality is alive and well.
Well, we hope you get just as warm a welcome when you come back to Nebraska. I've been talking here with Adam Gruhl, who is a member of Horseshoes and Hand Grenades. They are the band who is kicking off the lineup on this Sunday's Great Pinewood Bluegrass Festival. Adam, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks so much for talking. I'm really excited to go back to Lincoln. It's going to be a hoot.
And you can link to more information about the Great Pinewood Bluegrass Festival at netnebraska.org. Just click on the icon for Friday Live. Lynn Murphy is an American professor of linguistics living in England. She's well positioned to observe the curious differences in shared language of American and British English. All About Books host Pat Leach talked to Professor Murphy about her new book, The Prodigal Tongue, and the worry some people have that their language is in peril from change.
English in England and English in America will continue, I think, to be different things. In formal situations, they might get more similar because we need to read each other's words. Mm. But when we talk, we want to show who we are. We want to show we're American or British.
Hear more of Pat's conversation with Lynn Murphy, including examples of unique and misunderstood British and American words. It's all in the new book, The Prodigal Tongue, The Love-Hate Relationship Between American and British English. The interview is online at netnebraska.org/allaboutbooks. Paul Siebert has been playing music all over the Midwest and in Nebraska for over 30 years. He has a gig tonight in Brownville at Whiskey Run Creek as part of their summer series. He'll also be playing Memorial Day at Farmers Valley Cemetery north of Sutton from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. and a couple dates in June I'll give you right after we get to hear him play for us here. This is Echoes of an Era here on NET Radio's Friday Live.
Can you tell me about the echoes of an era, of the hope that's brought you here from far across the sea? Can you tell me everything that you can remember, so I can tell my children like you're telling it to me? His story started way across the great Atlantic Ocean, and in a black and white photograph he showed his family. Told me about his motherland, told me how he loved her. Freedom just was something that she couldn't offer me. So Grandpa, can you tell me about the echoes of an era, of the hope that brought you here from far across the sea? Can you tell me everything that you can remember, so I can tell my children like you're telling it to me? Sailing through the harbor, I see Liberty standing. I can see her lights shining bright for me. Grandpa put his hand to task and he hammered out his living, bending iron and shaping steel to serve his brother's needs. He said, take to heart this spirit of fire that brought you across the ocean. You got a daring soul pushing on, knowing that you're free. Grandpa, can you tell me about the echoes of an era, of the hope that brought you here from far across the sea? Tell me everything that you can remember, so I can tell my children like you're telling it to me.
Echoes of an Era, performed by Paul Siebert. He's tonight's musician on the Whiskey Run Creek Summer Series in Brownville. Lincoln's own Daniel Christian plays there a week from today. And we'll hear Paul again later in the show. He'll also be appearing June 2nd at Fort Atkinson State Park and June 9th at Gold Rush Days in Sydney. My next guest is someone who really enjoys traveling through Nebraska. She blogs about it, she posts to social media about it, and now she has also written about it in a book called Detour Nebraska, Historic Destinations and Natural Wonders. She will be at the Bess Streeter Aldridge House in Elmwood on Tuesday at 7 p.m. to talk about her book. Author Gretchen Garrison is also a mom and a teacher, and she joins me now. It's great to meet you.
Great to meet you, too, and thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely, Gretchen. You're a woman after my own heart, because exploring and traveling in Nebraska is one of my favorite things, so.
That is good. It's a fun thing. Once you get going, you can't help but keep traveling.
And I'd like to know from you, from your perspective, why you think exploring and traveling in our state specifically is important.
Well, I think that you need to start in your home. And if you can't appreciate what's surrounding you and understand what's surrounding you, you're missing out. And so, yes, there's a great big world to explore. But if you don't know what's around the corner, you're missing out.
Now, your blog is Nebraska Odyssey. What kinds of things do you blog about there?
Well, Nebraska Odyssey is actually my handle on a lot of social media, but it's Odyssey Through Nebraska is my technical blog. And so kind of my tagline from the beginning has been the people and places of Nebraska, both past and present. Because besides knowing what's going on today, we need to appreciate Nebraska's past as well. And there a lot of the places to go in Nebraska reflect the rich heritage and history of Nebraska.
So how did all of this writing about and exploring Nebraska get started?
Well, I'd written for a MOPS blog, a mother of preschoolers blog, and I really liked writing. And I felt like one day that God kind of whispered on my heart, your next task is to write about Nebraska. And so I'm a homeschool mom, and I was teaching my third and fifth grader that fall about Nebraska. And I thought, well, I may as well write about it. I don't know if anybody else will read about it, but I will be intentional about traveling and about talking to people and about stopping at places if I know I'm going to write about it. And so I started in July of 2013. So I've enjoyed doing that ever since. Sometimes my children travel happily with me, sometimes not so much. But I figure they'll look back someday and be glad for all the experiences that they had in their home state.
The book is broken into seven different regions. How did you decide on that?
Well, actually, it's based on a map that was in Nebraska Tourism Magazine the year I started blogging. And I loved how they separated the regions. It just makes sense. Mm-hmm. And they divide it by county lines. And so I think that that helps you to be systematic in your approach. And plus, it makes it less overwhelming. If you try to see the whole state, Nebraska's a lot bigger than people give it credit for. And if we try to do everything. As I was telling you before, to write this book, I traveled 1,700 miles in 4 days across Nebraska, and I barely made it anywhere, I felt like. And so there's just a lot to see, and it can be overwhelming if you try to see all of it at once.
You also have a couple of lists in the appendix at the back of the book. One of those is about one of my favorite things, too, art in Nebraska.
I've become fascinated with some of the different art that is here because a lot of times, again, we think, oh, to really experience art, I need to go to New York City, to the Met, or to Spain, to the Prado. And there's a lot of different great world museums, but there's a lot of great artists in Nebraska, and there's a lot of great art to see. And one of my favorite things in the list is the murals that are at some of the post offices that was a specific art project done by some local artists that reflect Nebraska's history. And you can capture, I hope, at least in my book, I hope I captured Nebraska well in words. But at the same time, capturing Nebraska in pictures takes it to a whole nother level. And so you can really get a glimpse into Nebraska's history by seeing some of its art.
I've been talking here with Gretchen Garrison about her book, Detour Nebraska, Historic Destinations and Natural Wonders. She will also be talking about her book at the Bess Streeter Aldridge House, that's in Elmwood, at 7 p.m. on Tuesday. And you can link to more information through the Friday Live page. And there on Gretchen's blog, you'll even find her comments and links to episodes of Nebraska Stories, which NET produces. Gretchen, it's been such a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you so much for having me on.
You are welcome. Friday Live is broadcasting this week from the Mill here in Lincoln's historic Haymarket District. And ahead on the show, I'll have highlights from our arts calendar, and we'll learn more about Living History Day in York, Nebraska. Another reminder that we are also streaming video this morning via Facebook Live, and with more live music coming up, you might want to check that out on the NET Radio page. Thank you. My next guests play tonight in Lincoln at Blue Blood Brewing Company at 7 p.m. A welcome here to Rascal Martinez, Marcelo Sanchez, and Sam McCravey.
Yes, thanks so much for having us.
I'm glad to have you on the show this morning. We got to hear one of your songs earlier, which is an original. How do you describe the kind of music that you play?
I don't know. We kind of just, I don't know. How do you explain what we kind of play? We don't even know what we're playing yet. I think we just kind of do a lot of genres. I feel like we're in that Americana folk genre right now.
Styles, yeah, definitely. Yeah,
a number of different styles.
A little bit of everything. But, you know, whatever way we can just make some good music, we just try to write tunes that that feel good to us, and hopefully people feel the same sometimes.
Yeah, good's a genre, right?
Yeah.
Good should be a genre, right? Yeah, we play good music. Yeah.
There you go.
So, Rascal, I mentioned that you were originally from Sutherland, Nebraska. When did all the music making start?
Well, Marcel's been playing music for he showed me how to play the guitar.
Yeah, a little bit. Rascal and I grew up together. Obviously, we're brothers, so I was probably 15 and he was probably 10,
yeah,
9,
something like that.
Picked up I always played drums and showed him a couple of chords on the guitar, and I wanted somebody to play music with, so that's how it started. So,
and then Sam, you got roped in somehow.
Oh yeah, I've been playing music all my life and everything, but I'm from Seattle and Texas and a lot of different places, but yeah, I got roped into this a month ago.
So Sam's brand new, actually. So
right.
Yes, so it's good. We're hitting the road and going out to Texas this tour, and going to be on the road for a little bit, so we're excited about that. And Blue Blood tonight, so that's exciting. Hopefully everybody's coming in the room, right? Yes?
I'll be there.
I
hope
so. Thumbs up. I love it. Now, you have someone else who's with you here this morning, but who isn't on the show this morning, who you told me was your driver.
Yeah, our dad, Matt. He's our driver and our filmer.
You know, not everybody's dad would be willing to be the driver.
Yeah, you know, we're
a nice relationship.
We're a pretty tough bunch, you know. He gets us to the places and puts up with a lot of stuff.
How many miles do you guys have ahead of you for all that driving and traveling?
Oh, goodness. A couple thousand.
One or two.
Yeah, probably.
One or two.
1,700.
Yeah. 1,700 miles,
it's
maybe.
It's a lot. We're
right?
going all the way down to San Antonio, all Main Street, and then to El Paso and Las Cruces and Santa Fe, and it's a big loop.
Okay,
so,
sounds good.
Just a few, though.
And any plans ahead for some other releases? We talked about the song
this morning. Yeah, so the new album just dropped yesterday. Mm-hmm. It's called Far From Home, so there's 7 songs on the new CD, and that's on Spotify and iTunes. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram. But other than that, we just got that come out, and we're just going to hit the road with some new songs and see what people think about it. Play all those ones tonight at the brewery and have some fun.
Well, it's certainly been a pleasure having the three of you here on the show. And Rascal, thank you again for playing for us this morning.
Yes, thank you very much for having us.
Thanks.
Rascal Martinez will tour stops in Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, and New Mexico, just to name a few. June 18th in North Platte looks like the next Nebraska show after tonight, when my guests play at Blue Blood Brewing Company in Lincoln. That's at 7 p.m. Rascal Martinez, Marcelo Sanchez, and Sam McCravey, thank you so much.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Great to have you. Heard a question you liked, but then spaced out during my guest's answer? Take a second listen to Friday Live. We podcast the show each week, and you can look for that later this afternoon on our Facebook page or on our website, netnebraska.org. Sure to check out the arts calendar on our website, both to make plans and to add your event. The address is netnebraska.org/radio. Just click events. Here's some highlights. Historic Fort Omaha will host an exhibit opening on Sunday at 2:30 p.m., including a performance by Metropolitan Community College Theater. The exhibition, Nebraska Now, Angie Sikora, Sculpture and Installation, continues at the Museum of Nebraska Art in Kearney through July 1st. and Dialogical, featuring work by Sophie Dvorak and Matthew Sontheimer, continues at Darger HQ Gallery in Omaha. For more information about these and other events, visit our website, netnebraska.org/radio.
Support for programming on NET Radio comes from History Nebraska. Vacation can be entertaining and educational with the Explore Nebraska History app, showing the location of all the historical markers along the way. To learn more, history.nebraska.gov. Also, support for humanities-related programming comes from Humanities Nebraska, delivering opportunities to engage with history and culture on the web at humanitiesnebraska.org.
Wessel's Living History Farm near York is hosting Living History Day on Saturday, May 26th, with the Kramer Sisters performing live music. Wessel's Farm Director Hillary Munt and the Kramer Sisters, who are Janet Jeffries, Beauvais, and Don Becquart-Munt, are here this morning to tell us about it. Good morning to all three of you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Thank you for being here. So, Hillary, Wessel's Living History Farm, just south of the interstate there at the York exit. And the words living history are pretty important. What's the mission of the farm?
Right. Well, to teach children about agriculture, living on a Nebraska farm, growing up in Nebraska, rural life, all of those things.
Yeah, and it's set all in a specific period of time there, too.
Yes, the farm is set in the 1920s. Which is a very, very fun time to pretend to be.
Yes. Just at the beginning of some developments in machinery, it seems like, in agriculture, you know?
Right. Things were really moving quickly in agriculture at that time.
Yeah.
Farms were expanding and families were taking on new adventures.
How often do you have Living History Day, and what do you experience at a Living History Day?
Well, Living History Day, the event we have annually. And, of course, we're a living history farm, so it's when we do what we do best, and we just go big, bigger than our daily things. But we have several guests. Of course, the Kramer Sisters will be there to perform, and it's been a few years since they've been there, so we're very excited that they're coming back. We'll have the Weavers, Prairie Fibers Weavers and Spinners Guild of Nebraska. That's
there you
how it
go.
Goes.
It's a long name.
Yes. There'll be several of them carting, weaving, spinning, demonstrating things for sale. We'll have blacksmiths out there. We'll have all kinds of farm demonstrations. We'll be planting with antique equipment and tilling before that. Cooking on the wood stove, churning butter, you know, a lot of the things that were common to life on a family farm.
Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned the Kramer Sisters, of course, who will also be providing some entertainment next weekend. Janet and Don, I noticed that neither of your last names is Kramer.
Well,
so how did your duo get that name?
Don, do you want to explain that? or I could. Go ahead.
No, we were playing an accordion jam in Kramer, Nebraska.
Uh-huh.
And because Janet and I are both Czech, and after the jam, we decided we were going to pick up the guitar and sing some country songs. They said our harmonies were like the Andrews Sisters, and someone said, no, that's been taken. You need to be the Kramer Sisters.
I see.
And it stuck.
Now we get the secret
stuck.
Behind
it's
the
been
name.
19 years.
That's
so
great.
We're getting old. We're the Kramer grandmas now.
So tell us what kind of music you perform. We will get to hear you in a little bit, but what kind of music in general and what you'll be performing on Living History Day as well?
Okay, well, we perform all kinds of music, generally classic country, kind of songs from the big band era, vintage things, Czech, gospel. you might say American standards. And so at Living History Day, we'll probably do a variety, but we actually got started singing there when former director Dale Clark asked if we knew songs from the 20s.
Uh-huh.
So we do a lot of theme shows, and so today we'll do a little medley from the early... the time that maybe they'd been listening on the radio at Wessel's house.
I see.
Some early 20s songs, so...
Very cool. And Hillary, what else do you have coming up at Wessel's after Living History Day? Anything you want to highlight?
Oh, gosh. Well, before Living History Day, tomorrow we have our farm run event, which is a farm obstacle course. And I know it's a good chance of rain now, but we'll be there rain or shine. So if you're interested to stop out at the farm tomorrow, we're open 9 to 5, and it's going to be... bring your friends and take on our obstacle course. We'll be flipping tires and pulling a tractor and gathering eggs and pumping water and doing all kinds of things, climbing around bale and moving the square bales and doing a corn dig and finding a needle in a haystack and gunny sack races and horseshoes and fishing. It's a really fun course. So
I love the idea of actually finding a needle in a haystack.
Yes.
I mean, I think most people just use that as a metaphor.
I think that'd be tough, Hillary.
It really happens.
It really happens.
Yeah. So we have that going on tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then we have Art on the Farm. You were talking about artsy events earlier.
Yes, and, totally.
We started doing Art on the Farm just last year, and it was so much fun. So all artists of all kinds, music, visual arts, performing arts, all kinds of things, are welcome to join us. Students, bring out your artwork that you did this last year in school. Put it on display. It's really fun to let people see what you've done. That is June 23rd.
June 23rd.
So that's the next event.
And we will make sure that there is a link to the Wessel site so people can look up more information about that event as well.
Great.
Right there at netnebraska.org on the Friday Live page. Wessel's Living History Farm, New York, hosting Living History Day a week from this Saturday, May 26th, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. The Kramer sisters and Wessel's farm director, Hillary Munt, were here this morning to tell us about the event, and we'll get to hear the Kramer sisters in about 5 minutes from now. Don, Janet, and Hillary, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
In addition to the Kramer sisters, Paul Siebert will be back to play us another tune, and we'll also talk with Amy Sandine about a collaborative exhibition of photography with her dad. That's all ahead here on Friday Live on NET Radio. Blue Barn Theater in Omaha is producing The City in the City in the City. Corbin Hirschhorn of KVNO has more.
Last night, the Blue Barn Theater opened with the Midwest premiere of The City in the City in the City by New Jersey playwright Matthew Capodicasa. His plays have been performed on the stages of New York, and he's come to Omaha by way of the Great Plains Theater Conference. The City begins with strange circumstances and an outlandish proposal, and ends up in a mysterious fictional setting. The playwright, Capodicasa.
The play is about a woman named Tess who is supposed to go on this trip with her mother to this fictional ancient city-state somewhere else in the world to retrieve a package that Tess's estranged father left for them. And then her mother suddenly dies, and Tess is kind of unwilling to give up the mission, so she finds someone with her mother's exact name to take the ticket and accompany her on this trip. And they encounter a city that neither of them quite expects.
The City in the City finds its roots not necessarily in theater, but some of the great imaginative fiction of the 20th century.
Another joy of writing this play is that I got to kind of, play in the world of a lot of my favorite writers. I mean, there's a lot of Italo Calvino in this play, Jorge Luis Borges, Shirley Jackson, Kelly Link, Kafka is probably definitely in there. I'm sure, inevitably he is. It's also a genre of the travel short story. Not the travel short story, but like kind of the trope of an American abroad that appears. And I think that the play both wants to embrace and comment on a little bit. I think it's a very fraught genre, but it's a fun one, or can be a fun one. So that's in there as well.
When initially writing the play, Capodicasa imagined all sorts of cities to house the plot, like Tokyo, Paris, and Marrakesh. But the story took shape when reality was put aside.
I felt like I couldn't actually encompass the particular city that I was interacting with. And then once I had the realization that the city could be completely made up, not only was that going to be a lot more fun, both for me and hopefully for the audience, to kind of let the world build as we go, but also it just allowed the play to go in a whole different direction, to actually speak to the experience as opposed to let it speak to the experience of traveling as opposed to speak to the experience of, like, Paris or Marrakesh or, Tokyo or wherever the city I was trying to get to in those early drafts was.
There are only two actors in the play, but that doesn't limit the amount of characters. They'll have some weight placed on their shoulders.
But I think it was somewhere around 40 characters total. The two of them cover those, and sometimes they play the same character. And so that form, and that was the kind of joy of writing this play, was that the form allowed me to do whatever I wanted and whatever the story needed. Of course, that was also the curse of writing this play, because if it could be anything, I eventually had to choose. And every time I went in to rewrite or add a new scene or something, and it can also do this, and I could also have them go here, and then they could do it. It was a little overwhelming after a while, because I was like, the possibility of just letting them tell us the story as they go were endless.
The City in the City in the City will run until June 17th at the Blue Barn Theater, with performances on Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays at 7:30 p.m., Sundays June 3rd and 17th at 6 p.m., and June 10th at 2 p.m. For more information or tickets, visit bluebarn.org. For Friday Live, I'm Corbin Hirshhorn.
I'm Genevieve Randall. Friday Live is coming to you from The Mill Coffee and Tea in downtown Lincoln. And we have another live music performance next. The Kramer Sisters are from Crete and will be performing in York at Wessel's Living History Farm for Living History Day, May 26th. Since the farm showcases agricultural practices of the 1920s, they have a medley of tunes for us from 1921, 1917, and 1910, although not necessarily in that order. It includes the melodies Put Your Arms Around Me, Anytime You're Feeling Lonely, Ma, He's Making Eyes at Me, and Oh, Johnny. Again, this is the Kramer Sisters here on Friday Live on NET Radio.
Anytime you're feeling lonely, anytime you're feeling blue, anytime you feel downhearted, that will prove your love for me is true. Anytime.
Performed by the Kramer Sisters. All those melodies are some people might have known or heard on the radio in the 1920s, which is why they'll perform music like that at Wessel's Living History Farm for Living History Day, coming up a week from tomorrow, Saturday, May 26th. This is Friday Live here on NET Radio, a collaboration between a Lincoln Museum and a New York Museum, still ahead on the show. Next, Amy and Jack Sandine have a photography exhibition called Translation during June and July at Hastings College's Jackson Dinsdale Art Center in the small gallery there. They also have some collaborative pieces together with artist Mary Vaughn as well, who will also have an exhibition in the main gallery during June. Amy and her dad, Jack, are here this morning to tell us about the exhibitions. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's nice to have you both on the show.
Thank you.
Amy and Jack, how did each of you get into photography?
Well, actually, I'm showing photography and other various items in the show, and Dad does altered objects. So what he's got in the show is more creating something out of other things with some amazing, whimsical, creative,
weird.
sculpture, print, ceramics, and wood items.
Jack, what inspires you? How do you start a piece?
Actually, Amy, she challenged me about 6 years ago with a Christmas card saying, let's do a show. And it was both encouragement and challenge. And so this is our fourth time that we've done something together.
Oh, that's nice.
It just kind of works.
How did the exhibition become called Translation? How was that chosen?
We like to think that everybody sees, perceives, hears, and views things from a different perspective. All of those things are valid. All of those things have meaning. And we all translate life and the world in different ways. And so the way Dad translates one object into another, the way I make pictures with a perspective that hopefully is new and different, helps present things in a way that people can translate in whatever way is best for them.
What kind of artist is Mary Vaughn, and what is in her exhibition?
She is a painter who also uses found objects, and she has this beautiful, natural, abstract sensibility. All three of us find our inspiration in natural and earthy elements, and so it ties together well, I think, in a way that's going to be really engaging and inspiring for people viewing the shows.
Now, I understand that the three of you collaborated on some pieces, and as an artist trifecta, you call yourselves Three Frog.
Three Frog.
What are those pieces like, and how did you come up with that name?
You know, I think Three Frog came about as we were talking about nature and art and trifectas and movement and color and life, and we all laughed at it. So that came about. Dad and Mary have done a number of collaborations that are built objects. She's a painter. She works mostly in oil painting, and we've put together some rather large canvas photographs with her interpretation in a painting of that same image, and then Dad's constructs to frame those pieces.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So kind of a back and forth or a mirror reflection,
right,
kind of thing.
Exactly.
Going on there.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
It's cool.
How is it working together as father and daughter?
It's fun playing off of each other, and it's an inspiration, I think, for both of us, because we look at things a little differently, and yet we see in each other surprising things.
With each other, we say, what about this, a lot? Or what if you did blank? And it always brings a dynamic element into the end product. It's really fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
Dad got me started in photography. I challenged him to put his work out there. And this is our fourth show together, actually, in the last 6 years or so. So we're excited about this one to be there all summer at Hastings College.
So nice. Amy and Jack Sandine's photography and other artwork exhibition titled Translation opens at 5 p.m. on Friday, June 1st, with an artist reception and a gallery talk at Hastings College's Jackson Dinsdale Art Center. They also have some collaborative pieces with artist Mary Vaughn, who also has an exhibition at the Art Center. Amy and Jack, thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure chatting with you both.
Likewise.
There's one more live music segment yet here on Friday Live. I also want to give you 2 weeks' notice that the show will be broadcast from McCook June 1st. We will be live from Sainert's Bakery and Beer Rock Cafe, and you can learn more about that and a number of NET productions in various places in Nebraska by going to netnebraska.org/ontheroad. A new PBS series and initiative will celebrate reading, and specifically the novel. There's a list of 100 favorite novels and a chance for viewers and participants to vote for a favorite American novel.
What I'm most excited about is the way it creates conversation about books. So I'm of course, engaged in a One Book, One Lincoln program each year, One Book, One Nebraska program. And to my mind, the point always is to get people reading and thinking and talking.
Lincoln City Library's director and host of All About Books, Pat Leach, is featured on this week's Friday Live Extra podcast talking about The Great American Read. You can listen to the conversation by downloading wherever you get your podcasts or listen to the Friday Live Extra at our website, netnebraska.org. Lincoln is home to the International Quilt Study Center and Museum, where there is always something going on. For example, tomorrow, members of local quilting groups will be working on projects in the reception hall beginning at 10 a.m. Sunday, they host a quilt identification day by appointment. And June 1st, for First Friday, they host Annette, is it Jero or Garo?
Jero.
Jero, thank you so much, who will be giving a lecture at 5:30 talking about the exhibition War and Peace, the Annette Jero Collection of Quilts from Military Fabrics, which was a co-curated exhibition. And here to tell us more is Curator of Collections, Carolyn Ducey. Good morning, Carolyn.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having us.
Well, it's nice to see you again. Who were making these quilts of military fabrics?
Well, it's an unusual group because the quilts are all made by men. We believe they were tailors who were conscripted and serving in war, perhaps even individuals who are convalescing. And this is a way to keep themselves busy with a lot of downtime. And they created just amazing, complex, geometric quilts. We call them quilts for want of a better word. They really are mosaics, wall hangings. Mm. It's just something people have not seen before that I think they'd really enjoy.
It sounds from the description like they are really complex. What's significant maybe about any patterns or techniques that you might see used in the quilt?
Well, because they are using a boiled wool or felted wool, the fabrics don't fray. So you can do a technique that where you actually inlay the wool into these really complex designs. They also use a patchwork technique. But they just have a really, really unique look to them. And they were made, you know, it's such a fascinating contrast that these beautiful pieces came out of wartime and war experience. And that contrast is something we always kind of have in the back of our head, even as we're just really enjoying these for just the beautiful pieces they are.
Yeah. What's the time period that these were being made?
They began to make them in the mid-18th century. So they started while British soldiers were encamped in India. They continued to be made up until the late 1800s. So they really spanned a long period.
Interesting. Tell us a little bit about your guest who's going to be speaking on that first Friday.
Well, we're so excited to be able to show Annette Jero's amazing collection. Annette is an incredible scholar and historian who has collected these quilts over 30 years, and we only know of about 100 examples. So to have 25 here in Lincoln is amazing. Annette will be joining us via video from Australia on June 1st. It's part of our first Friday, so we're free for visitors from 4 to 7. The lecture will be at 5:30, and it's sponsored by the Byron and Sarah Dillo Excellence Fund. It's a special event we do every other year with the Dillo family, and it's a really special night for us.
And again, that exhibition will be on view May 25th through September 16th.
Right.
And a co-curated exhibition, what was the co-curation process like?
Well, it was really fascinating. We got to work with the American Folk Art Museum in New York City, and they built this exhibition with quilts from our collection as well as Annette's, and really brought some new amazing research to light. And so we were able to work really closely with the Folk Art Museum to bring that set up here. And the work that Stacey Hollander, who's a curator at the Folk Art Museum, did is just really astounding. It's just an amazing show.
All right. Carolyn Ducey is Curator of Collections at the International Quilt Study Center and Museum in Lincoln. And we've been talking about War and Peace, the Annette Jero Collection of Quilts from Military Fabrics. Again, on display there May 25th through September 16th with that first Friday event, June 1st. Carolyn, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Genevieve.
Next, we get to hear Paul Siebert once again. He plays tonight in Brownville as part of the Whiskey Run Creek Summer Series, a Memorial Day gig. He plays at Farmers Valley Cemetery north of Sutton. And right now, he plays Farmers Valley Porch Swing on the Hammer Dulcimer here on NET Radio's Friday Live. Seabird playing for us here at the Mill. That was Farmers Valley Porch Swing. Paul plays in Brownville tonight with some later dates near Sutton, at Fort Atkinson, in Sydney, and many more. And we have a link to his website on ours at netnebraska.org/radio. Coming up this morning on NET Radio, classical music on Morning Concert, and this afternoon, Laura Black and Classics by Request. Be sure to visit the NET website for podcasts of the show at netnebraska.org/radio. Thanks to everyone who makes Friday Live possible, including Robert Goldberg, engineer James DeShano and Kent Baker, and associate producer Dave Hughes. I'm Genevieve Randall.
Support for programming on NET Radio comes from Pittenger and Anderson, a Lincoln-based fee-only investment advisor providing fiduciary financial advice and investment management to individuals and families. P&A, your financial advocate. Online at pittand.com. And Bedient Organ of Lincoln, designing, building, and servicing pipe organs for more than 45 years. On the web at bedientorgan.com. Bedient is design and service.